Last year, leading up to Christmas, we looked at some Christmas carols and a bit of history behind them. And we're going to continue on this year, I think, and do some more if I can find enough information on them. But we're going to look at some different things, different songs that we sing, and get a bit of the history behind them and why we sing them. And just continue on from where we were at last year. This year, you notice this morning as we were singing, we sang a lot of songs about the name of Jesus. And we're going down through quite a few of them. And the name of Jesus, as you know, is very important. And as Christians, we honor the name of Jesus. We're living in a society that don't seem to care too much about the name of Jesus. And I was reading something a while ago, and it was just a devotional. And the guy was saying, as Christians, we ought to be jealous about the name of Jesus. We look at the Muslims and everything else, and they, you know, honor the name of Allah and Muhammad and everything else. And sometimes they'll give their lives just to protect that name. But we sort of just sit by when people curse and swear and use the name of Jesus loosely. And we just think, well, that's just the way they are. And but sometimes, you know, I don't know if it bothers you like it bothers me. I tell you one thing that really bugs me when you're looking at television and or any movie or something you're looking at, and they feel they got to use the name of Jesus over and over and over and over, not in a nice way, but in a derogatory way. And we're living in a society when it's okay to go out and curse the name of Jesus, but if somebody stands up in a school or somebody stands up somewhere else out on the street corner or somewhere else and talks good about the name of Jesus, well, we're bad people. You know, we're infringing on somebody's rights and all these different things. But I can get up and curse on Jesus and use his name vainly, and nobody turns their head. But Jesus said, all the world will hate us because of his name's sake. And we're seeing that come to pass. But anyway, we're going to look at some different things today concerning the name of Jesus. And there's a lot of different names in the Scripture that Jesus is called by. And I was listening to a fellow preaching years ago, and he told a story about a man, he said, was on a train. And as he was going along, he said he saw this man there reading a long list of things. And he said to him, he said, what are you reading? And this was a Muslim man. He said, I'm reading, he said, the 99 names, memorizing the 99 names of Allah. And the Christian guy started to think, man, he said, you know, he said, they put so much emphasis on the name of their God, which is no God, really. And he said, we treat the name of Jesus so lightly. And so we're going to look at some different things today concerning the name of Jesus. And this is what we're going to call it. We sang this chorus already this morning. Jesus, name above all names. Let's look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 down to 23. Well, let's read into verse 25. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the word of the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which, being interpreted, is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's bow together and ask God's direction as we look into the word this morning. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be able to come into your presence. Lord, once again, we come, Lord, humbly before your word, And we just ask that the Holy Spirit would enlighten our understanding, give us clearness of thought. Father, may we see something in this today that we can learn from and, use in our daily devotions, in our lives. And, Father, that we would be drawn closer to you. Just guide us and direct us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jesus' name above all names. This is the chorus, and is written by a lady. I guess you pronounce it Nada, or Nida, Nada, I guess, Hearn. It says, Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, the blessed Redeemer, and the living Word. We're going to look at some of these things, but we're going to look at this morning. Listen to this, sir. This is a couple minutes long. Just a little bit of history behind that song. Nada Hearn, she was from New Zealand. She was born in 1931. She died in 2001. And she is from New Zealand. And she had a love for the Lord, they said. And she decided that she was going to write down a pile of names about Jesus. And she started making a list of all the different names that Jesus was called by in the Scriptures. And they said in New Zealand they had wash houses out behind their house. They would take the laundry out to this wash house to get done. And she was going out this day to do her laundry as normal. And she decided to take the list of names along with her. And she took the list and she went out to the wash house. And she took the list and stuck it up in the window so that she could see it while she's working. And she was just worshiping the Lord and thanking God, you know, because of all the different names and everything else. And just, you know, contemplating what the name meant and different things. She was worshiping the Lord. And she said, as she was just looking at it, she said, all of a sudden she started to sing, Jesus, name above all names. And she said, when I start to sing it, she said, it's the same tune, the same pitch and everything that it is now. And she said, I never had to think about the words. She said, those lines just came to me. She said, it just rolled out. And she said, she just started to sing, Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, a blessed Redeemer and a living Word. She said, the tune came and everything. She stopped. She said, Lord, should I write that down? And she said, the Lord said, yes. So she said, you ran, got a piece of paper out, and she said, wrote down the words of this song. And she said, after she went back to her washing. And after the washing, she said, she went back in, sat down to the piano, and filled in notes around it and different things so that other people could play it. But she said, that's how the song came to her. And the thing is, we, as I already said, we don't honor the name of Jesus as we ought to. We stand by idly sometimes when people criticize, people swear, they use the name and slang and everything else. And I get in trouble sometimes but for saying things like this, but I don't think as Christians we should be going around saying, oh, geez. Stepping on some toes probably now. Or, oh, my gosh. You know, these are all just substitutes for using God's name. The Bible says don't take his name in vain. And I'm not trying to be legalistic here this morning, but I honestly believe that we ought to, as Christians, we ought to start changing our attitude and start changing our way that we honor the name of Jesus. It's a name that's above every name in the universe. We're going to look at some of the different thoughts in Scripture today about this here. We're going to take that course and take one line at a time. First of all, it starts out with Jesus. The word Jesus comes from the Hebrew word. It's the same word as Joshua. In the Old Testament, Joshua. In the New Testament, Jesus. Now, they're not the same person, obviously, but it's the same name. The name means the same thing. And it means Savior or salvation. The Lord saves, is what the word Joshua means. And matter of fact, if you go back in the Old Testament, in Zechariah chapter 3, Zechariah had a vision of what took place in heaven after Jesus left the cross and went to heaven. Zechariah had a picture of that. He saw what happened in heaven, how he said he saw Joshua, the high priest. Now, if you know anything about the history of the Old Testament, Joshua wasn't the high priest. But he said he saw Joshua, the high priest, coming before God and the angels and everything else, and he took dirty robes off him, gave him clean robes when Jesus came from the earth, when he just bore the price for our sin, paid the price for our sin. So the name Jesus is the same, as I said, as Joshua, but it means salvation. Matthew 1:21, we just read it. Gabriel said to Joseph, because Joseph found out that his girlfriend, his fiance, was pregnant. And, you can imagine in this day and age, what goes on, but you imagine when it was back in that society. And Joseph, because he loved her, didn't want to make a shame of her or anything else, and he wasn't sure who owned the baby, but he didn't want to make a shame of her, so he decided privately, to King James says, to put her away, in other words, to break their engagement. Their engagement in those days was a lot stronger than our engagements today. Our engagements today, we could just break them, but in that day, you had to get a divorce. You had to get it legally broken because you were engaged for 1 year prior to the marriage. And Joseph decided that he's going to go through with this divorce, so to speak, and break the engagement with Mary. And while he was thinking on these things, the Bible says, while he was asleep at night, an angel of the Lord came. Gabriel came to him. And said, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife. He said, that child that's being born of her is of the Holy Ghost. And then he went on to say, and she's going to bring forth a son, and you'll call his name Jesus. Now, there's only a few people in the Scripture where God gave the name before they were born. There's a number of different places God did that. But he said, you'll call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. John the Baptist. Last year we started talking about John the Baptist leading up to the sermons for Christmas. And John the Baptist, same thing. The angel said to Zacharias, you're going to call his name John. He's going to be great. He's going to be a forerunner of the Messiah. That was the cousin of Jesus. But anyway, he said, call his name Jesus. Now notice the last part. For he's going to save his people from their sin. The name Jesus means Savior. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10 tells us, the Apostle Paul wrote this. He said, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things on the earth, and things under the earth. There's no other name in the universe like the name of Jesus. When we stand, we used to sing a chorus years ago, and maybe you sing it here too, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. When we stand in the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand before. In the precious name of Jesus, we have the victory. And so when we stand in the name of Jesus, there's not a demon in hell that can stand against us. That name is the highest ranking name that God ever allowed to exist in the universe, is the name of Jesus. But this is, you see, this is why, and I started earlier saying that people curse the name of Jesus, they criticize the name of Jesus, they laugh at it, at all these different things, but there's no other name. The Bible says, as a matter of fact, I got that scripture here, I think. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved except through the name of Jesus. You know, and we need to, as Christians, respect that name. Now, I don't mean you got to go out and act super spiritual and you know, cause all kinds of shame to the name by just trying to stick up for it. But I think that as Christians, we ought to, as our own individual lives, we ought to do more to be jealous over the name of Jesus. You know, when you're growing up and you first fall in love, some of us still remember. And, you know, if somebody spoke something bad about your girlfriend or your boyfriend, I mean, it hurts you so bad. Anybody else go through that or just me? We all do. Or all did. But, you know, the thing is, like, because there's something, you know, you've got that relationship with that person, and for them to say something negative about them, something bad about them, it hurts. And I believe as Christians, when we hear people cursing and swearing and doing these different things, now I understand also as well, like I'm a pastor and I'm not out around all the things that you're at your work and everything else, and you hear people cursing and swearing and all these different things, I understand that. You know, you know, I still think that there's something in us that ought to be stirred when we hear somebody using the name of Jesus in a you know, bad, negative connotation to it. Then he said, it's a name above all names. Again, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, he says, wherefore God, now you talked a little bit earlier in that Jesus became obedient even to the death of the cross, death on the cross, the Bible says, and because of that, God the Father has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, we just read the verse a minute ago, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things on the earth, and things under the earth. The three realms, heaven itself bows to the name of Jesus. You've heard me telling the stories that I read in a book called Angels on Assignment. And in one of the episodes when an angel came to visit this pastor that wrote the book, or was telling a story, somebody else wrote it, but he was telling a story. When the angels came to visit him, ever so often he would see them just, begin to worship the Lord and different things. And he would ask him, you know, what causes that? And they said, somebody in heaven mentioned the name of Jesus. And when they heard the name of Jesus, all heaven just stopped and just began to worship him. And now I don't know exactly how it, you know, flows when we all get to heaven every time we hear the name of Jesus or what. I don't know. But the thing is, we need to understand that there's something precious about that name. You know, we've all been in situations, and I have, and I'm sure you have, when something has been about to happen, some danger, you're probably driving down a road, and all of a sudden the car starts to slip or something like that, and the very first thing you do is, Jesus. Not in the bad way, not in the curse word, but you're doing it, just asking for help. And I honestly believe that, as Christians, when we pray that way, when our faith is in that name, remember what Peter said, the man at the gate beautiful, when he jumped up and ran into the temple and everything else, and they all started looking at Peter, and then like Peter healed the man. Peter said, don't look at us. He said, we got nothing good in ourselves. He said, but it's faith in the name of Jesus that healed that man. We've neglected the name of Jesus. Neither is there salvation. I quoted this a little earlier. Neither is there salvation in any other. I mean, you see, Christianity as a religion, it can be very narrow-minded. But as a relationship, it takes in all the world. You know, the price to pay for all the world. As a religion, you see, this is what religion does. You look at the Muslim religion. If you don't bow to their beliefs and everything else, you can end up being beheaded or killed, you know, some way, because they won't tolerate anybody that won't bow to their God. Christianity, we welcome people in through love and you know, try to reach them and let them make their own decision. That's what Jesus did. That's what, you know, God won't force himself on anyone. God will always give everybody an opportunity to come to him and all these different things. That's why we give altar calls. That's why, you know, you look at television and people that are doing ministries, they give an altar call, give an opportunity for people to respond to Jesus. We don't put a gun to your head and say, now you better worship Jesus. You know, but the thing is, there's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. You can't be saved by the name of Allah. You can't be saved by the name of Buddha or Confucius or some of the Hindu gods. There's no other name for anybody on this planet, no matter what religious background they have, no matter what society they come from, no matter what kind of a race they came from. There's no other name under heaven for all mankind except the name of Jesus. Jesus himself said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no one comes to the Father but by me. So we need to start to recognize the authority, the power, the preciousness of the name of Jesus. Then he goes on to say, beautiful Savior. The word Savior means deliverer. Deliverer. Romans 11:26, so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer. And he shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He's our Savior. Again, this is another reason why we ought to honor that name. There's no other name under heaven that's going to get us into heaven. There's no other name that's given among men that we can get to heaven except the name of Jesus. But yet we use that word so lightly. We treat it so disrespectful. But there's no other name. I mean, this is probably a stupid example, but if the government of Canada or the government of the United States or some other government, you know, did something to pay your way to pay for a medical treatment or whatever the case might be, and somebody criticized the government of Canada, you step up for them. But Jesus paid the way for that. You could have all eternity in his presence. You know, and yet for all, we sit idly by and we turn on the television and I tell you, I can't stand. You can be looking at a good movie, and all of a sudden, they got to use the name of Jesus. And to me, I just turn it off. You just spoiled the movie for me. I don't care how good it was and how important it was up to that point. And as Christians, I think we ought to be very careful what we put up before our eyes. The Bible tells us to be careful what we put in front of us, what we look at. And because we're feeding our spirits all the time, these things coming into our spirits and using the name of Jesus in such a loose way. I don't know any other way to say it, but we need to respect and be jealous over the name of Jesus. I think the world, the society we're living in, we support Bill Prankard's ministry, and every month they send out a DVD, just a little excerpt and things like this. And a little while ago he sent one out, and I forget which way he put it, but he said, what happened to us? He said, what happened to our society? And he's talking about that. Remember down in the States here last couple months ago when they were going to burn the Quran? The whole world got upset and got mad and got angry. But yet just this past week, a couple weeks ago, was it Iraq? They went in and slaughtered 58 Christians in a Catholic church, burned their Bibles. And it just makes a little blurb on the news and it's gone. Burning Bibles by the thousands. Nobody says a word, but you burn the Quran. As Christians, we've dropped the ball. We've allowed things to happen. This is what Bill Prankard was saying. He said, what happened to us? You know, that we've allowed these things to come into our society. I was reading something in the week, and they're talking about, remember a little while ago we showed about the demographics, you know, the population, religious things are all changing. And they were saying that Canada is even farther ahead than the United States now, welcoming the Muslims. You know, and they're coming in and taking over our society. And they say in Britain now that the Muslims are getting to the place that soon they can elect their own leaders. They said in the United States in the next, I think it was 40 years, or 24 years, I think it was, they said that there's going to be enough of them there that they'd be able to, on their own, be able to elect Muslim president. without needing support from anybody else. There's going to be enough of them there. So the world is changing, and we sit idly by, and the name of Jesus is mocked, is laughed at, is used. You know, I mean, it's bad enough for the world to use it, but people in our own countries who understand or should understand the importance of the name of Jesus, and we can see what the other religions are doing to their parts of the world, and that are trying to bring it to our parts of the world. And we can see all these different things taking place. We need to step up and be jealous about the name of Jesus. Another scripture we're talking about, he said, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree." This is when he was preaching, Peter was preaching to the Jewish people. He said, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him as God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior." God has exalted Jesus to be the savior. There's no other name. We just talked about it. There's no other name. There's no other savior out there. There's no other religion out there that can get us into heaven, get us into God's presence, except Jesus. Remember when Jesus one time, he said, "I am the true bread that came down from heaven." He said, "Moses gave you bread, gave you manna, and he said, you ate that and you still hungered." He said, "But I'm the true bread that came down from heaven." He said, "If you eat my flesh and drink my blood," and they couldn't understand that. They thought he meant just literally eating flesh and drinking blood. And the Bible says, because of that, a lot of people were shocked. And they said, what is he getting on with? And the Bible says, because of that, many of the people withdrew from Jesus. They couldn't understand what he's doing, so they withdrew from him. And Jesus turned to the 12 disciples, and he said, "Boys," he said, "what are you fellows going to do?" He said, "You're going to leave too?" And Peter said, "Leave." Now, I'm paraphrasing, but Peter said, "Leave." He said, "Man," he said, "you're the only one who's got the words of eternal life. Where else can we go?" You know, there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus. God has exalted Jesus to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Another scripture, 1 John 4:14. "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." Jesus came. This is what Gabriel said to Joseph. He said, "Call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sin." He's a Savior of the world. Then it says, "His glorious Lord." These are songs that the Lord gave to this lady as she was singing the song. "Glorious Lord." He said, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ." Jesus is our Lord. The word Lord is Adonai. Remember the chorus we sing sometimes? He's Jesus, Jehovah El Shaddai, Adonai. Adonai means the owner of something. You own something, that's Adonai. Back in the Old Testament, they had the way they looked at things and things like this. Remember Sarah called Abraham her Lord. He was the one that was head over her. You know, now I'm not going to stretch that too far, but the thing is, like, we need to understand that when we say that Jesus is our Lord, we mean that he's the owner. He possesses us. A lot of people, and I'll share this, a lot of people get saved, but they always struggle all their lives. They can never get excited about the things of God. They can never get ahead with the things of God. They're just saved. They don't grow. They don't get ahead. They don't accomplish anything for God. They're just saved. And the reason for that is because they've accepted Jesus as their Savior to get out of hell and get into heaven. But they've never made him the Lord of their lives. And when you make somebody the Lord of your life, that means he's the boss. And he's going to change some things. When you accept Jesus as your Savior and Lord, he's going to want to have some say in your life. And see, we've come to the place that we don't want to. We serve God if it doesn't cost us anything. We serve God if it's not going to, you know, cause any problems. We don't have to go to church when I'm tired, or we don't have to go to church when it's cold or if it's raining, or, you know, or if I only got to go Christmas and Easter, that's fine. But I don't want to be serving God every day of my life. Well, you're not really making him your Lord. To be your Lord It means every single day, every decision you make, you put God in the picture. That's when you make Jesus the Lord of your life. And this is what this songwriter was saying. And God, I believe by the Holy Spirit, gave her the words, He's our glorious Lord. He's our owner, our possessor. And when we honor Him, we recognize Him as our Lord, as our Master. Sometimes you hear people praying, you hear Benny Hinn praying sometimes, you just look up and say, Master. There's always something that gets me down here when I hear that, when it comes from a sincere heart and say, Master. He's our Master. That's what the word Lord means. He's the owner. He's the governor. He's the one that directs our paths and directs our lives. He's our glorious Lord. Number of places in Scripture Jesus called our Lord. I counted up 92 last night. I got a few of them here. I ain't going to give you 92, so don't get nervous. He said, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, again, through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's our Lord. Here's some different places where it's mentioned in Scripture. He's referred to as our Lord. And like I said, there's 90 some out of them that I found last night, and there could be more. I just typed in Jesus Christ our Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ. I just started counting them as it came up in that little phrase. But there's other places where it's mentioned in different phrases, obviously. But I counted 92 last night, just quickly going down through it. He's our Lord and our Master. Then it says Emmanuel, which is interpreted, God is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah 7 and 14. God says, The Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. Now, this was 700 years before it happened. 700 years before Jesus was born, it was prophesied that He's coming. See, here's the thing about it. Out of all the religions in the world, none of them were prophesied centuries before that their leader was going to come. These fellows just showed up and started up their own little thing. Jesus got authority from heaven. 700 years before He even came to the earth, it was prophesied that God was going to send a sign. And He said, here's how you would know it. He said, Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. These are one of the titles of Jesus, Emmanuel. And over in the New Testament, 700 years later, when Gabriel came to Joseph, this is what He said to him. He said, Now all this, this is what the Scripture says, all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, shall call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted means God is with us. We sang it a little earlier, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. God with us, revealed in us. His name is called Emmanuel. Then, blessed Redeemer. Redeemer means someone who redeems or buys something back. Someone that buys something. Redeem them, get them back again. It means a purchaser. From the Hebrew, it means one charged with the duty of restoring the rights of another and avenging his wrongs. Well, that's what Jesus did for us, isn't it? He had a duty of restoring the rights of another, which was us. He restored our rights, made it possible that we could become children of God once again. Because when God created Adam, the Bible says that Adam was called the Son of God. Remember that the Bible talks about there I think it was in Matthew chapter 1? That Adam was, he gave the genealogy round back. He said, this one was the son of so-and-so, was the son of so-and-so, was the son of so-and-so, was the son of so-and-so. And then he talked about Seth, who was the son of Adam, who was the son of God. God created Adam, placed him on the earth. And you know the story, sin came into the world and all these different things. But Jesus came down to give us that privilege again to become a child of God. Couldn't have that except by Jesus. And this is what the Word of God talks about in John chapter 1 and verse 12. The Bible says, as many as received Him, as received Jesus. If you read the entire chapter, it said, in the beginning was the Word. We got the Scripture in a few minutes. And it goes around down through. He came into the world. John said He came as a light. He said, but the world didn't recognize Him. He was a light that was shining in darkness, the darkness and corruption that was in the world. Jesus was a light. And it's still the same thing today. Anybody who stands up for righteousness today, The world and the media looks at them as being bad people. You know, narrow-minded, intolerant, and all these different things. They say all these negative. Anybody who stands up for righteousness are bad. The Bible talks about, in Isaiah, I believe it is, he said, there's a day coming, he said, and there's going to be a generation that calls good evil, and evil they call good. I believe we're living in that generation. You know, you stand up for anything that's righteous, you stand up for anything that's holy, and you get laughed at and mocked at and everything else, and you're the one that's had a touch with society and all these different things. But Jesus came to restore the right to us again to become a child of God. And as many as receive Him, see, it's not automatic, as many as receive Him. This is why we always say you have to receive Jesus. You have to receive Him. As many as received Him, to them He gave the power or the authority or the right to become a child of God again. The Jews came out and they said, we're children of Abraham. We don't need anybody to tell us anything but God. We're children of Abraham. And Jesus turned to them and said, you're of your father the devil. These are Jewish people that had a covenant with God, but they had no relationship with Him. The Bible says, they worship Me with their lips, but their hearts are far from Me. This is why we need to realize that when Jesus came, He came to restore that privilege, that right again, that we could become God's children again. And that's not automatic just because you go to church or just because you were born in a Christian family or a Christian society. That's an individual responsibility. As many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. So He had the duty of restoring the rights of another and avenging the wrongs. Jesus dealt with Satan, the one that brought sin into the world. Jesus dealt with him, gave him a blow on Calvary, destroyed his power, destroyed his authority. This is why when we stand in the name of Jesus, demons have to bow. Jesus dealt with Satan back then, but we know that in the final analysis, when Jesus comes back, the Bible says Satan is taken and cast into the lake of fire. And then the Bible says there's a new heaven, new earth. There's no more sickness, no more death, no more pain, no more crying, no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more sickness. All the things that are bad in the world today are gone forever. So it's only obvious where it came from. You get upset sometimes when something goes wrong, like a flood or something. They call it an act of God. It's not an act of God. It's an act of the devil. Jesus never came to cause storms. Jesus calmed the storms. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Again, He's our Redeemer. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law. Galatians 4 and 5, He came to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Again, in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, when John saw a mighty multitude worshiping God, and they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And then lastly, it says, He's a living Word. John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, the Bible says, and by Him all things were created, and without Him nothing was created. And then it goes on to verse 14, And the Word, who was in heaven with God, the Word became flesh. He's a living Word now. See, we have the written Word here in the Bible. This is the written Word. That's the Word of God. But Jesus is the living Word. He's the Word made flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 1 John 5 and 7, For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. The Bible says, As many as called upon His name will be saved. Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This lady that wrote the song, they said that after she wrote the chorus that week, she went to her home church on the Sunday, and they sang it. And as they sang the song, they said, there's some visitors in the church, and there's some missionaries there from different countries. And they said, over the next few weeks as they were singing in the church, people started taking the songs. They're going all over the world with it. And they said, today has become one of the most loved choruses Jesus, name above all names. She said when she wrote it, and this is what she said. She said, I've had all sorts of people write to me asking that I add three more verses. I thought if the Lord wanted three more verses, He would have given them to me. All that is needed to be said was said. The Spirit impressed me that it was to be sung as a love song. It's all about Jesus. You're supposed to sing it softly, slowly, and reverently, as if He were our lover. This is what He wanted. When we worship the Lord, when we sing songs like that, and this is why sometimes when we sing songs, you know, it's good for us just to look at what we're singing. Not just go through the routine of, you know, get it over with and move on. Come on, pastor, it's 10 after 12. And it's time to... Listen, this is His day. I'm totally convinced that this is His day. He deserves respect. He deserves glory. And we ought to be jealous. And when we come to church on Sunday, you're not coming just to feel good for yourself. Even though that's a benefit that comes. You're coming to worship Him. You know, church is not a time to get what we can get out of it. Church is a place where we can give what we can give. You know, to worship Him and to uplift His name and glorify Him. This is what this day is all about. This is why God gave us this day of rest. It's supposed to be a day when we honor Him and respect Him and worship Him. And we come up with all kinds of reasons why we can't. You know? Our worship, and I'll finish with this, our worship should cost us something. Remember David when they were, last year we talked about David, we went through a series on the King David and Samuel and all them. But remember David, when he was going to buy a piece of land to build a temple, which is the Temple Mount, you see in you always see the pictures of Israel today, you see the Dome of the Rock and everything there. It was that piece of land that David bought, the exact piece of land. And when David bought that, he went up to Achan, the fellow that owned it, and David said, I want to buy a piece of land, he said, you know, to worship the Lord. And he said, but no, he said, I can't give it to you. You know, no, he said, I can't take your money. He said, I'll give it to you. And David said, oh, no, no. He said, I can't, you know, give something to God that costs me nothing. You know, when we come to worship Him, we're giving Him something today when we worship Him. But if you only come when you're comfortable, you only come when everything's going good in your family, you only come when things are happening and the blessings are there, that's costing you nothing. It costs you something when everything is going against you and you still worship Him. When everything is hard and you just can't seem to see straight, you know, spiritually, and nothing seems to be working out, and you still say, Lord, I don't understand everything's going on, but God, I just want to worship You. I believe that's when God is honored, when it costs us something.